Thank you, music team. I like it when there's songs up there that are so old, they're new to me. Is that dating you, Ken? I'm not dating you, sorry. Oh, man, something shut down here on the... So a few years after my family immigrated to Canada, that's before I was born, my dad took a trip back to the old country, to the homeland. And when he was over there, one of his relatives gave him a shortwave radio. You remember those? Now I'm dating myself. A shortwave radio is able to pick up broadcasts from around the world. I guess shortwave frequencies, they don't dissipate like AM and FM radio waves, but they actually bounce off of some layer up in the atmosphere, and they just keep going and going and going. So a shortwave radio can pick up broadcasts from the other side of the globe. Now, one reason my dad was given this shortwave radio was to keep him connected to the homeland. It would also supply him with good quality radio program, which was no doubt missing in the cultural hinterlands of Canada. They were living in Prince George at the time. I'm sure my dad listened to his shortwave radio a time or two, but I don't remember it. I think carving out an existence in Canada took so much of his time and energy that he didn't have the patience to fiddle around with his radio and stay connected with the homeland. All I remember is this radio sitting on top of his dresser collecting dust. But once in a while, I would take it down just to play with it. And I can remember stretching out the long silver, the chrome antenna, and then turning on the power switch and then searching for foreign broadcasts. And as I turned the dial, most of what I heard was incoherent static made up of fizzing and popping and screeching. And if you've ever played with one, you know what I'm talking about. But once in a while, I would pick up voices speaking strange languages. And hearing those voices made me feel like a spy listening in on some communist communique. And I would lean in closer to see if I could pick up any important information. But it never lasted very long. Listening to incoherent sounds gets boring real fast. And before long, I would turn the radio off and put it back in that little dust-free rectangle on his dresser. Actually, there was no dust. My mom didn't let that dust settle. She was that kind of woman. Anyway, the Bible tells us that as followers of Christ, we are in a position similar to my parents. Our homeland as Christians is heaven. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the Apostle Paul wrote, "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives." And so that actually makes us foreigners in this world. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners." He speaks to them as temporary residents and foreigners. Like my parents were when they first came to Canada, we are citizens of another country living in a foreign land. That's why we sometimes sing the old Jim Reeves song. Something wrong with our projection this morning, eh, Graham? Oh, you're working on it. Okay. Sorry about that. That's why we sometimes sing the old Jim Reeves song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." Now, the Bible also makes it clear that, like my parents, we have been given a way to stay connected with our homeland. So, we have been given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God living inside us, and He enables us to communicate with heaven, just like my parents' shortwave radio enabled them to hear from Germany. So listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you into his own family. Now we call him Abba, or Daddy, Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So this verse tells us that God's spirit actually receives messages from heaven for us and communicates them to us. He joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. But that's not all. Later on in the same chapter, we read, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit's saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. There's a whole bunch of stuff in that verse, but what I want you to notice is that the Holy Spirit inside us transmits messages back to heaven. This is a two-way radio. The Holy Spirit prays for us. And so the moment we become citizens of heaven, our Heavenly Father gives us this amazing gift, a personal transmitter-receiver that sends and receives messages to and from our homeland. What a concept! What a blessing! Through the Holy Spirit, we can receive reminders of who we are and why we are in this world. And we can receive direction about what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live as foreigners in this land so that we don't lose our reward back home. Not only that, by means of this transmitter receiver that we have, we can send messages home asking for forgiveness and redemption, asking for encouragement and affirmation, help, direction, and strength. Now, isn't it tragic when like my dad's shortwave radio, this transmitter receiver that we have just sits on the shelf gathering dust? Or isn't it tragic when, like my dad, we don't have the patience to fiddle with it and stay in touch with the homeland? Or isn't it tragic when, like me, we just take it down once in a while, maybe on a Sunday morning, and play with it just to see if we can pick something up that's uplifting or entertaining? Since September, like Ken said, we have been going on a journey called Experiencing God. And this journey is built around seven realities. And so far, we have looked at four of these realities in our Sunday morning service here. And the first reality is that God is always at work around you, even in the difficult things that are happening. And learning this reality alone has actually had an impact on me. I think I knew it before, but being reminded of it again has actually had an impact on me in the past couple of months. It's made me a lot more attentive to events around me and impressions inside me. And I've actually done things and called on people just because I was wondering if God might be doing something in their lives. And you know, I haven't been disappointed. It's made me more sensitive to those promptings. The second reality of this journey is that God pursues a loving relationship with you. In different ways, God is trying to get your attention, to let you know that he loves you, that you're valuable, that you have a place in his plan. He wants you to respond and acknowledge him. He wants you to rest in his love for him. He wants you to trust his guidance and direction. He wants a relationship with you, and we talked about that a few weeks ago. The third reality is that once you are in a relationship with God, he invites you to be involved in what he's doing. God is fully able to work on his own. He didn't need you or me around when he created the heavens and the earth. And he doesn't need you or me around as he builds his kingdom. Yet he seldom does anything without involving someone. Why? Because he wants to share his work with us and give us a place of importance, of eternal importance in his kingdom. But how do we know what God is calling us to do? How do we hear his invitation? How does he speak? And that brings us to the fourth reality that we have been looking at for the past few weeks. This reality is that God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit as we read Scripture, as we pray, as we watch our circumstances, and as we listen to one another. Now, earlier I suggested that my dad didn't have the patience to fiddle with his shortwave radio. And with all due respect to my father, that was very true about him. He was a great farmer. Within his farming community, he was known for his ability to produce and deliver quality produce, big heads of cauliflower. But my father had no patience for mechanics and electronics. In fact, the reason he had to get out of farming was because he had built up this greenhouse operation that was entirely computer dependent. And when he built it up, my brother and my brother-in-law were around. But then when they moved on to their own operations, my dad was like, what am I going to do? I got to sell the place. So if a broadcast that he didn't understand, or if a broadcast that he could understand didn't come loud and clear on the radio the moment he turned on the power switch, he was lost. He didn't know what to do, and he didn't have the patience to figure it out. You know, I think we've all been there with our gadgets, right? Who here hasn't been tempted to throw their electronic gadget through the window? And for some reason, our Apple computers have a special ability to tempt me that way. I'm a PC man. I'm sorry for any Apple fans here. To be honest with you, I've also been there with the Holy Spirit. I've run into issues and questions and problems. And after trying to solve them on my own, you know, maybe I should read some scripture. Or maybe I need to pray for some answers. Or maybe I just need to watch and see what the Spirit's doing or listen to what people are saying. But there's no clear reception. Or there's no reception at all. Just a bunch of incoherent static. And that made me wonder, what's wrong? What's wrong with God? Sometimes it even made me wonder if there is a God who speaks. Other times, the lack of communication tempted me to give up on the Holy Spirit and start listening to other voices that were giving advice. But over the years, I've learned that hearing the Spirit's voice and receiving God's invitation to work with Him is a lot like tuning in to a broadcast on a shortwave radio. And I'm going to point out five ways in which they're similar. First of all, you have to own the equipment. If you want to receive broadcasts on a shortwave radio, you need to own a shortwave radio receiver. And in the same way, if you want to send and receive messages to and from heaven, you have to possess the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 reads, And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. So the inference here is that the moment that we become citizens of heaven, we receive God's Spirit. And the way we become citizens of heaven is by asking heaven's King to rule over us. We become aligned with Him. It's the second reality that I mentioned earlier. God is pursuing a relationship with you. He's trying to get your attention. He wants you to acknowledge Him. He wants you to rest in His love for you. He wants you to say yes to His guidance and direction. And when we do that, He gives us His Spirit. Now, for some people, that experience is quite dramatic. For other people, it's more subtle. But for everyone, it's life-changing. And if you feel God trying to get your attention, don't wait to acknowledge Him. Say yes to Him. He wants to give you the greatest gift ever. He wants to give you Himself in His Holy Spirit. So if we want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, the first thing that has to happen is that we have to own the equipment. The second thing is that we have to make sure that it's turned on. The fact that I possess the Spirit does not mean that I'm going to hear the Spirit any more than the fact that I own a radio means that I'm going to hear the broadcast. The Bible makes it clear that it's possible to squelch or suppress the Spirit's voice, to turn Him off. And the chief way of doing that is by adopting a self-centered attitude that produces sinful behavior. So hear the words of Ephesians chapter 4, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not turn him off, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Nothing shuts the Holy Spirit down like selfishness and unconfessed wrong in our lives. In terms of a shortwave radio, unconfessed sin in our lives is like a frequency scrambler used by the enemy to distort any message that we might receive from the homeland. If you have the Holy Spirit and you're not hearing from him, the first thing you need to do is ask yourself, is there anything? In fact, ask him, because he'll reply. He'll get the message through. Is there anything in my life that might be hindering me from hearing your voice? This morning I shared that I had to ask that question of myself earlier this year. And the moment I asked the question, I knew what I had to do. I had to swallow my pride, and I had to confess to someone that I had done wrong. And the moment I did that, the reception cleared up. So first, own the equipment. Then turn it on. And next, you have to focus. If you've ever operated a shortwave radio, you will know that it takes a fair amount of concentration. You can't find a broadcast and tune into it while you're doing other things, like watching TV or texting someone. You have to give the operation your undivided attention. First of all, you have to find the general wavelength that you're looking for with the big knob, and then once you have it, you go to the smaller knob and you fine-tune it and you find clear reception. And something similar is true when it comes to hearing the voice of the Spirit. It takes mental focus. Don't expect the Spirit to talk to you while you're watching the football game. I'm not saying it can't happen, but if that's your habit, don't expect much communication. You have to cut out the distractions and give him your undivided attention. You know, every Christian that I know who speaks of hearing the Spirit's voice makes a conscious effort to listen. More often than not, it involves carving out time on a regular basis to be quiet, to read the Bible, and to pray. And during those times, they turn off and they tune out anything that might distract them. Yes, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, wants to talk to you. But are you listening? Just the other day, I read a cute story told by Chuck Swindoll. And if you listen to AM, The Light, 9:30 AM, you know who I'm talking about. And in this story, he tells about a time that he had too many commitments and too few hours in a day. And he was getting all nervous and uptight. He writes, I was snapping at my wife and my children, choking down my food at mealtimes, and feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions throughout the day. Before long, things around our home started to reflect the pattern of my hurry-up style. It was becoming unbearable. I distinctly remember after supper one evening, the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. And she began hurriedly, Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast. Suddenly realizing her frustration, I answered, Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slow. I'll never forget her answer, wrote Chuck. She said, Then listen slowly. The Holy Spirit who is living within you is trying to talk. Are you listening? Do you listen slowly, intentionally, often to his voice, for his voice? Listening for the voice of the Spirit is like a habit that grows over time. And when you first start it, it takes effort. But the more you do it, I believe, the less effort it takes. In fact, it becomes second nature. And there comes a time when you might miss. You might not do it for some reason, and you'll miss it. You'll miss it. So first we have to own the equipment, then we have to make sure it's turned on, and next we have to focus. What's next? Well, We have to understand the language of the Spirit. If you know what you're doing with a shortwave radio, it's actually quite easy to pick up broadcasts from the other side of the globe. The only problem is that most of those broadcasts will make no sense to you unless you understand the language in which they are spoken. And something similar is true when it comes to hearing the voice of the Spirit. No, he doesn't speak a special heavenly language. No, you don't have to have the gift of tongues to understand him. The Holy Spirit speaks to you in whatever language you speak. But the Spirit speaks truths that are often foreign to the natural human being. And unless we understand those truths, what he says to us will not make sense. Have you ever tried to read a book? Maybe you took a course at university level or something like that, you had to read a textbook or you had to listen to a lecture about a topic that was entirely new to you. And the book or the lecture was presented to you in the English language. You spoke the same language, but it didn't make any sense to you because it was talking about stuff that was entirely new to you. Before you can understand that book or that lecture, you need to do some background work on the topic. And now, I'm not saying that the Spirit of God cannot speak or will not speak to us when we don't know Scripture or the Bible, but I will say that what the Spirit says makes a whole lot more sense to people who are familiar with the qualities and the ways of God as they are revealed in Scripture. The reality that we're looking at today states that the Holy Spirit speaks to you through the Bible, through prayer, circumstances, and other believers. And the way this reality is worded can actually be a bit misleading. It might lead someone to believe that, well, we can choose the means by which the Spirit speaks to us. You know, if I don't like the believers around us, you know, I can have my own quiet time and hear God. Or, you know, if we don't like praying, we might let ourselves believe that we can still hear God's Spirit speak to us through our circumstances or through our Christian friends. Or if we're not the reading type, we might be led to believe that we don't need the Bible to hear God's voice. Folks, we don't choose how the Spirit speaks to us. The Spirit chooses. And I believe the Spirit's primary means of communication is the Bible. And so I've taken the liberty to reword this reality. Here's my version. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through prayer, through our circumstances, through other believers, as we read and ruminate on Scripture. The Bible gives us the necessary lens through which to recognize God in our prayer, in our circumstances, and in the things people say to us. Without the Bible, we're left with our own natural wisdom, and that leaves us in a blur. You know, soon after I became a serious computer user, I had to start wearing these glasses. Staring at a screen for hours, I guess, reshaped my eyeballs and made me nearsighted. And now when I'm driving down the highway, the signs along the road don't make sense to me unless I'm wearing these corrective lenses. Our selfishness and our sinfulness does the same thing to our understanding and perception as staring into a computer screen. They reshape our perception so that we have become nearsighted and self-focused. We interpret everything we see and experience in terms of our own interests. And so when God works in the world around us, we're in danger of missing it unless we are seeing things through the corrective lens of Scripture. You know, something that we've all been watching right now in the news is this mass migration of Muslims into the Western world. And when we watch these events in terms of our own self-interest, when I watch these events in terms of my own self-interest, I can quite honestly say I become fearful and defensive. We want to build walls to keep people out. And numerous American Bible Belt states have stated that they will not receive any refugees. And you know, I understand why they're saying that. I'm not naive about the system of belief that these people are bringing over with them. But you know, Recently, I have been reading the Gospel of Mark very slowly. Sometimes we see how fast we can read the Bible. I'm trying to see how slow I can read the Bible. And my reading is making me ask a question. If my first priority as a follower of Jesus is to defend a geopolitical kingdom, such as Canada, or to seek opportunities to show compassion and expand God's kingdom. For centuries, you know, we haven't really had to choose between the two options. You know, we could build our kingdoms and our countries the way we wanted, and then we could expand God's kingdom around the world. We had freedom. But that freedom seems to be coming to an end. And we may be forced to choose whether we're going to be soldiers of Western democracy or soldiers of the cross. Are we going to resist people who might threaten our political system and way of life, which, you know, is doomed to die anyways? You know, people are afraid of the threat that Muslims bring to the West because we're afraid that it's going to destroy our country. But let me tell you something. The forces that are going to destroy our country are already at work within our country. So are we going to resist people who seem to threaten our way of life, or are we going to sponsor a family? Are we going to introduce them to the good news about Jesus? Are we going to expand the kingdom, which will last forever? I don't want to get into a political debate this morning. I know this is a bit of a sensitive topic, but the point I'm trying to make is that my reading of Scripture is causing me to see things differently than if I viewed them through my own self-interest. And you know what? It doesn't always make me feel comfortable. But neither is it supposed to. If we want to hear the voice of the Spirit and recognize God's hand in the world around us, we need to learn the Spirit's language. And the way we learn the Spirit's language is by reading and ruminating on Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, do your best. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to a young man named Timothy. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth, Scripture. There's one more similarity between operating a shortwave radio and hearing the Spirit speak. You really got to want it. Why would anyone bother turning into a broadcast from the other side of the globe when the airwaves are full of broadcasts right close to home? Well, you've really got to want that broadcast from the other side of the globe. And the reason you would want it is because you're discontent with what you're getting locally. The same thing is true when it comes to hearing the voice of God. Why would anyone bother seeking His voice when there's so much interesting stuff in the world around us? Well, we've really got to want to hear from heaven. And the reason we would want to hear from heaven is because we have become discontent with what is being offered us right here and now. You know, as I've been reading through the Gospel of Mark, one of the things that has struck me most is that the people who came looking for Jesus were people who were not content with what the world could give them. The world can distract us, the world can sedate us, but the world cannot satisfy our deepest longings. It can't give us the unconditional love that only God can give us. It cannot give us the lasting and eternal purpose and meaning that He gives. And it cannot give us eternal security. The only thing that we'll ever find those things, or the only time that we'll ever find those things, is when we're in a relationship with God and involved with what He's doing. And the only way to get to that place is to tune in to the voice of the Spirit, and the only way we'll ever do that is if we're no longer satisfied by being distracted or sedated by the world. So God is always at work around you. And once you're in a relationship with Him, He invites you to work with Him. He wants to involve you and me in His business, which is the only business that will stand in the end. And to do that, His Spirit speaks to us through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances and other believers. The question that we have to ask ourselves is whether or not we're tuning in to the Spirit. Do you possess the Spirit? Have you said yes to God? Is there evidence of the Spirit working in your life? If so, is the Spirit able to speak into your life? Or is there something in your life that is squelching, hindering Him from speaking? Do you take time to focus and listen for the Spirit's voice? Or is your life so busy that He can't get a word in edgewise? Do you understand the Spirit's language? When you look at the events in the world around you, when you see people movements on a large scale, or when you see small things happening right in your own world, do you see them from the lens of your own self-interest, or do you see them from God's perspective as He's revealed them in Scripture? And finally, we have to ask ourselves, do we really want to hear from the Spirit? Let's take a moment and bow our heads and examine our own hearts. Where are we at with hearing the Spirit? Do you have the Spirit? If not, you can invite Him into your life. You can say yes to the King of Heaven. If you have the Spirit, is He turned on in your life? Is there something hindering Him? Do you take the time to tune in, to shut out the distractions? Are you growing in your understanding of the Spirit's language and the character and the ways of God? Do you want it? Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for these amazing promises that we are learning, that You are at work, God, in this world. Sometimes it just doesn't seem that way, but your word tells us and Your promise is that You are at work, that You are the sovereign of our lives and You're the sovereign of history, and the things that are happening are not by accident. Nothing happens without Your permission. And we thank You for that, and we thank You that You want to pour Your love into our lives and give us a place in Your kingdom. You want to involve us, Lord, and make us people who can hear Your voice, God. I just pray this morning that You would pour out Your grace in a new way into each heart that's here, Father, that our appetite, our interest, our hunger to hear from You would be renewed and would grow, Lord. Help us to hear the voice of Your Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.